The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, brought to you in part by YouBeauty.com. Questions or comments? Call 877-577-5611 or email udocs@gmail.com. Now, here are Joe Galuski, Dr. Deb Lonser, and the star of the show, Dr. Michael Roizen, M.D.
Yes, it is. It's the passionate radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. It's you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with Dr. Michael Roizen, the author of Real Age, Are You As Young As You Can Be? You Being Beautiful, You, the Owner's Manual. Don't forget about You, the Owner's Manual for Teens, You, the Smart Patient, You Raising Your Child, You Having a Baby. And also, he's the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio. Read him in Reader's Digest, Men's Health, Glamour, Prevention Magazine. Dr. Deb Lonser is a pediatrician with us weekly. She's also the Chair of Community Pediatrics at the Cleveland Clinic. And I'm Joe Galuski, and I'm the host of a show in Central New York called Central New York's Morning News on News Talk 106.9 and 570 WSYR in Syracuse, New York. Welcome to the program. After a series of kind of on and off again rerun shows, travel and vacations, we're heading toward fall. Labor Day weekend is next weekend. We're getting back into a full live schedule. Don't forget, we are streaming live at gabradio.com. Gabradio.com. Welcome in Dr. Deb Lonser, Dr. Michael Roizen. Dr. Deb, Dr. Mike, how are things?
Things are great, Joe. How are you?
Doing well, Dr. Mike.
And I couldn't be happier. There's great data out this week. You know, one of the best studies shows, this followed 14,000 people. It's the number one study. And it shows that if you were fit in midlife, that is, at the average age of 49, you had only half the chance of developing one of the chronic diseases over the next 25 years. And some data from Stanford that I understand is about to be published corroborates that, saying if you have normals at some place in 50, with or without medication, in other words, when you get your blood pressure normal, your glucose normal, your lipids normal, you don't smoke, and you have a normal waist for height ratio, you not only live 8 years longer, but you have 8 years less disability. So you have 8 years longer life, and you have an eight-year period that has no disabilities or is freer of disabilities than you would have had if you didn't have those five normals. So that was the big study of the week, and that actually makes me happy.
What is normal? What's the definition of not normal? But matter of fact, that's our guest topic at 34 past the hour of the biology of normal. But by definition, what is midlife?
Midlife was 49 for this study period, and midlife and the other study by which is going to come out, which I heard about today, is starts at age 64.
Wow.
Midlife at 64, I'll take it.
Well, this is when they looked at normal and then said what happened over the next 30 years. The next 30 years, people who were 64 or 5 and had one of those diseases lived on average to age 84. People without those diseases lived to on average 94. And the people with one of the chronic diseases had about 18 years of disability of some kind before they died. The people without those things had 8 years of some kind of disability. What they mean by disability is meaning they had a chronic disease that required medication or treatment that left them unable to do everything they wanted to in life.
So the definition of fit includes all the lab work and the body mass index?
Fit in that study was they looked at METs. How many METs, MET is metabolic equivalents, were you able to do as a maximum? And the top group was at 10 METs for women, 11 METs for men. And if you met that, you lived in those cases, you had half the chance of developing a chronic disease over the next 25 years. That's by age 75.
That's one of the measurements on a treadmill, METs, if I recall correctly.
Correct.
And I never understood what that was.
Well, METs is the amount of physical exertion you can do in a set period of time. So it's a metabolic equivalent, and that metabolic equivalent the extreme athletes can go, you know, Usain Bolt might be able to do 28. That the usual Olympic athletes do 22 or more, 21, 22. For you or I, Joe, if we're doing 15 or more, we're really in the upper echelon of us 60-year-olds.
Well, I'll have to pay attention to that. I've never really paid attention to the Met.
So what that is the maximum.
Okay.
Make sure you get your physician's okay to do it, and do it for the last 2 minutes of your exercise. That's actually a very good thing to do. Not just for the test, but actually it increases brain power. It turns out that the intensity, 2 minutes of intense exercise three times a week, is incredibly good for growing your brain and growing your brain's connections. It probably releases brain-derived neurotrophic growth factor if the animal models, which helps prevent Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, as well as memory loss. But it is, and what you do, so that would be going, having your treadmill at the maximum incline, 15 degrees.
Ooh.
And then going at, say, 4 or 4.1 miles per hour would be 15 METs. And that's what I like to do all the time, Joe, at the last 2 minutes of the exercise. But that's, if you will, hardcore.
Yeah, I'd need a rope at 15 degree elevation.
Well, we can provide the rope.
That is really a mountain to climb. Now, obviously, the better in condition you are, better in shape you are, the better.
Yeah, you don't have to do that, by the way, to get this. This benefit at age 49 was 10 METs for women, 11 METs for men.
Okay, so my point being, the better in shape you are, the better you are able to handle some of the environmental factors that challenge us in life, that threaten our healthy existence, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Because there are a lot of environmental things out there that, cause a lot of our problems.
So when I read the news of the week, I either get inspired or depressed, depending on what it is. Today, the news of the week, when I went and did it last night, the medical news of the week made me feel really good that I'm able to do that 15 or 16 METs every three times a week for the last 2 minutes, and even did it today. So, Joe, you can do it too.
I took my bike in for repairs yesterday because I need to get back on my bike. Still, we're toward the end of summer, heading toward fall, but again, we're getting towards some terrific fall weather, cooler weather. And I like the bikes. For some reason, I like the bike more than I like the walk. Walking is obviously terrific, but I do like the bike. But I'm trying to figure out how many miles constitutes 10,000 steps of walking.
5 miles.
Well, that's not much.
No, you do it when you walk a golf course. The average person who plays in the 80s walks about 5.5
miles. Right, it's a 5 or 6 mile. Walk if you walk a golf course. And I'm saying a biking. How many miles do you have to bike to get 10,000 steps?
The time equivalent. So it would be 100. It would be about 80 minutes of hard biking or 100 minutes of casual biking.
Okay, now 80 minutes. That's an hour and it's an hour and 20 minutes. So that is a walk. Hey, should we mention Neil Armstrong passed away today? The first astronaut to walk on the moon, Neil Armstrong, passed away today at the age of 82, they say, because of complications resulting from cardiovascular procedures. And where were you July 20th, 1969? Probably one of those seminal moments that we all remember if we're adults.
Yeah, I was in medical school, and I was probably taking a medical school test.
I don't want to tell you where I was, but I was probably saluting the flag in kindergarten.
Yeah, well, I was... it's one of those moments we all remember where were you?
I
think. 1969. I was home watching on TV with my mom and dad, home from school between my freshman and sophomore year in college. And I think that moment, Armstrong walking on the moon and the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show, probably two of the most watched television events ever, right? So
absolutely. I watched the... What? Joe?
We'll be back. Stay with us.
Great Start Life Insurance, offered by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, ensures the insurability of your child. Now, what does that mean? Well, too often people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards precludes them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. By insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your child, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out about the rates and all the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com, enter the station's call letters, and as a thank you for applying, we'll give you a free non-insurance prescription discount card, good for substantial savings on prescriptions and other medical tests. Keep and use the discount card even if you should cancel your Great Start Juvenile Life Insurance policy. The free discount card is not insurance, and discounts are available only at participating pharmacies. The discount medical plan organization providing this discount card is Vantage America Solutions, Inc. Ensure the insurability of your child and check out the Great Start Plan. Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois. Peace of mind. Now at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are Dr. Mike, Dr. Deb Lonser, and Joe Galuski.
Hey, don't forget, a show brought to you weekly by Morning and Night Multivitamins and YouBeauty.com. YouBeauty.com. It's You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Royce and Dr. Deb Lonser. Our guest at 34 past the hour, Dr. Jordan Smoller. His book is called The Other Side of Normal, How Biology is Providing the Clues to Unlock the Secrets of Normal and Abnormal Behavior. It's an interesting topic. We'll get into it 34 past the hour, the biology of normal. And then Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week coming up in our last segment. You have an idea of what might be that topic, my friend?
On the tip of the week,
Yes.
I actually do have an idea of what it is. Do you want to know that idea?
As a tease, in tease form, that would be fine.
Three beach safety tips.
Three beach safety tips.
And the second hour, you want to know that one too?
Sure, yeah.
That one is actually perhaps more interesting, but that one is natural fertility boosters to help you get pregnant. Now, this is not you, Joe, but this is if
it's not me either, Joe.
if you had a son or daughter-in-law and you were trying to encourage them to get pregnant, these are things you might suggest they do.
Very good. And speaking of the beach, for our Florida listeners, best of luck handling Tropical Storm Isaac this weekend. I guess will become a hurricane as it heads into the Gulf of Mexico by Sunday and Monday. Good luck on that. West Nile virus, worst year ever for West Nile virus. How come?
How come is a good question. Maybe it's all the hot weather, but the cases of West Nile so far have been scattered across almost every state. 38 states have had West Nile virus. So there are two spooky things about what's going on with West Nile. The first is the number of cases, which is huge. Almost half of them are in Texas, but still 38 states have had it. And the other is that more than half of the cases of West Nile virus this year have been the neuroinvasive kind, meaning you get meningitis or encephalitis. So it's the most dangerous form of West Nile.
What you mean by that is it affects the brain
or the nervous system, right?
And can be really devastating in its long-term effects on the body. It can cause paralysis or serious long-term mental dysfunction.
So West Nile is, I mean, most of the time when you get it, you just feel a little bit fluey. You get achy and maybe have a fever, and you don't really get any specific symptoms. And so that's what's so scary about the fact that more than half of this year's cases, people are getting really sick, and there are already 41 people that have died from it.
One here in central New York, by the way.
A woman
who died of West Nile here in her 90s.
You know, the only thing to do with West Nile is to get rid of mosquitoes. So the states like Texas have started to spray whole counties with aerial insecticide spraying night.
What would you do differently? In other words, it seems to me that since it does come from mosquitoes, the most effective thing we can do is DEET our clothing. That
right.
is, put DEET on our clothing. Take one of those mosquito repellents that blows out some mosquito repellent like DEET from your body. Wear long clothes.
And DEET is the most effective.
And wear long clothes very long, and then don't go out at dawn and dusk.
And also,
what else should we do?
Well, you have to watch standing water in your yards. So, you know, people have bird baths that they don't think about and little ponds that they don't have any aeration in, and having that standing water is a bad thing. So if there's even the smallest amount of standing water in your backyard, you should dump it and get rid of it. Particularly for kids and older people, you should spray their clothes and spray your own clothes with, like he said, DEET, because it's the most effective insecticide out there, and really avoid the time when mosquitoes are most around. Although I have to tell you, I've been getting mosquito bites outside this year at really strange times. It used to be that you could predict when they were going to be out the most, and that was at dusk and dawn, but I'm getting bit up even at 4 o'clock in the afternoon sometimes. I guess that's a hint that I should be working harder.
So what do? You get bit by a mosquito, and then
Once you've been bit,
it's a roulette game, right?
There's no treatment for West Nile. So, you know, go to the doctor and get checked if you think that you may have it. And really, it's supportive treatment. So you'll be watched for the more serious complications, like we were talking about, of the brain and nervous system, and certainly treated if any of those symptoms pop up.
But it's like flu-like symptoms, so everybody...
Gets a cold is going to be worried that they have West Nile.
Right, so do you go to the doctor if you have the cold? Do you feel a little bit achy?
No, if you're feeling nonspecific symptoms like that, then it's probably something nonspecific like a cold or a more garden variety virus. But if it lasts longer than you expect it to, so if you're into 2 weeks of it and you're still not feeling better, or if you're getting worse rather than progressively improving after the first 5 or 6 days, then it's time to go see somebody and find out if you have something more serious.
We had a local man here who in the area who died of it. He's in 90s. He was a veteran, military veteran, fought in the war and got through the war, but he died of West Nile virus.
Wow.
Does that make is life unfair or what?
I mean, life is certainly not fair.
Of all the challenges he probably had fighting in the military for our freedom,
yeah.
Gets through that and then gets bitten by a mosquito and loses his life because of the West Nile virus.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem fair. Hey, before we go to the break, what do you think about Boston Market? No more salt shakers on their tables.
Well, it's a good start, but, you know, sodium is really only a problem for those with salt-sensitive hypertension, which is a very small. If you have high blood pressure, it's less than 0.5% of the people with high blood pressure. Much more important are those four-legged animal fats, added sugar, and added syrups. So I'd much more concerned about that, but Boston Market raising the bar and saying, and talking about food and food health for the rest of us is an important subject to raise. It raises the subject of saturated fat, that's that four-legged animal fat, two-legged animal skin, palm and coconut oil, none of which we should have. It raises the bar for added sugar, added syrups, and any grain but 100% whole grain. So I applaud Boston Market for taking that tact. It's a very small start on salt shakers off the table, not just because sodium is so little effect, but because taking just a little bit off is not going to do a lot.
And they also say they plan to cut the salt in some menu items in the next 6 months. Now, this is what I find interesting. They're going to keep the pepper on the table, but taking the salt shaker off the table, but salt will still be available at the beverage station where you can go refill your soda over and over again until you become waterlogged. You know what I mean? I mean, does that make sense? If people love salt, aren't they going to go get their salt at the beverage station?
I think so.
Right.
I would say yes. What would you say?
Well, so, I would say that too.
Yeah, so there it's a little bit window dressing. They're making it a little bit harder, and, you know, every barrier that you throw in the way of unhealth is probably good, but it's not going to stop people from using the salt if they want to. Although, if you've ever eaten, I mean, Boston Market, you know, sometimes it's a convenience, but it's not unsalted.
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. They're going to be cutting down the sodium in some of their menu items. But it would seem to me also the best way to discourage adding extra salt at the table would be to cook with enough salt or a salt substitute that would discourage you from, you know, putting salt, extra salt on your food. Doesn't that make more sense than, you know, taking the salt off the table?
A lot of people salt their food before they even taste it.
Yeah, that wouldn't even, right, it's an automatic.
You know, yeah, you just pick it up and shake it on.
It's an automatic response to what people do. Okay, we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes after the bottom of the hour break, and our topic will be with our guest the biology of normal.
It really doesn't have anything to do with you, Joe.
No, that's why I.
And we'll talk about the biology of attachment trust, which goes to the biology of sexual attraction.
Yep.
And soulmates.
All right. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Deb Lonser and Dr. Mike Boyson. Stay with us.
I am a face of influenza.
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 We all are faces of influenza.
I'm a mom. And I'm a face of influenza.
Health officials now recommend everyone
6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this
and every year.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family from contracting and spreading the flu.
We all are faces of influenza.
See your healthcare provider about getting immunized. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated. Visit facesofinfluenza.org. Influenza is serious. So are we. Get vaccinated.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Snowboarding is a popular winter sport. Snowboards look like big skateboards made from fiberglass and plastic. Snowboarders ride their boards much the way surfers do, steering by shifting their body weight. Most can reach speeds up to 40 miles per hour. Twice as many injuries happen to snowboarders as skiers. The most common injuries are to the wrist, usually when snowboarders use their arms to break a fall. The American Academy of Pediatrics does not recommend this sport for children under age 7. For older children, make sure the snowboard fits the child. An easy way to determine this is to make sure the board stands no higher than the child's nose. Children should always wear helmets and gloves with built-in wrist guards, and they should resist trying advanced stunts or dangerous tricks until they've mastered all the basic snowboarding skills. And for more information on your child's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
It's one thing to have a job in this economy, but it's another to have a career that you love. Getting the skills for today's careers may depend on your college degree. So if you're interested in the future of business, electronics, information technology, or drafting and design, call ITT Technical Institute today. With over 100 campuses nationally, ITT Tech can prepare you for a career in one of these fields. After all, tens of thousands of ITT Tech grads have built a solid future. Perhaps they can do the same for you. Classes meet just a few times a week, and financial aid is available to those who qualify. So what's stopping you? For more information and to schedule your campus tour, call ITT Tech toll-free at 800-574-1319. That's 800-574-1319. ITT Technical Institute. Education for the future. 800-574-1319.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
And now, back to Dr. Michael Roizen, Dr. Deb Lonser, and Joe Galewski on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
All right, Dr. Mike's Real Late Tip of the Week for the first hour coming up in about 20 minutes. Stick around for that. In the meantime, we'll discuss now the biology of normal. You know, psychiatry has ignored the normal. The focus on defining abnormal behavior has hidden what's turned out to be a more fundamental question. How does the biology of the brain give rise to the mind, which gives rise to everything else we care about, thoughts, feelings, desires, and relationships? Dr. Jordan Smoller here. He's our guest in the guest segment. Dr. Smoller, Associate Professor of Psychiatry at Harvard Medical School and Associate Professor in the Department of at the Harvard School of Public Health, Epidemiology. And I practiced that before we went on the air. And his book is called The Other Side of Normal. I know I should have avoided it and let Dr. Smoller pronounce it. The Other Side of Normal is his book. It's published by William Morrow. Dr. Smoller, thank you. It's epidemiology.
Epidemiology.
The accent de grave.
Exactly.
Should be in this. Well, thank you for coming on. We're glad to have you. What is normal and why do we need to understand what it is, sir?
Well, you know, one of the most fascinating things that occurred to me as I was thinking about writing this book is that normal and abnormal are things that we talk about all the time. We say, you know, that's just not normal, or that's what's normal. And we often don't actually have a clear picture in mind of what we mean by that. And it turns out that when we think about normal, we're not, at least as I understand it, we shouldn't be thinking about a bright line. On one side of the line is normal, on the other side is abnormal. It's not a point, it's not the average. There's really a spectrum of what's normal that's shaped in part by our evolutionary history and in part by the vast variation in our genes and our experiences that we all have.
And it probably makes this kind of study and defining normal pretty challenging, I'm sure. Here's Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike?
Now, Dr. Smoller, one of the things you do in the book is give these interesting stories and then follow them up with what I would call the biology and how it relates. And yeah. So one of the stories that fascinated me was something that all doctors get, that is a call at 3:30 in the morning when you're on vacation, and if you don't respond to it, it is you don't care about me phrase. And so even those of us, for example, I practice internal medicine, and those of us who practice internal medicine have that what would be a phrase of don't you care about me anymore when you don't pick it up or when you do pick it up. So how does the brain evolve trust, and how do we know how to trust people?
Yes, well, that is the key word, trust. And in fact, the story that you're mentioning there is one in which it's a story of a patient who was in a crisis and needed help urgently. And as physicians, we are placed in a position where people are expecting us to be trustworthy and to be reliable and to be caregivers. And all of us experience that of caring for others or relying on being able to trust other people. And what we find from the biology and the psychology is that develops very early in life. It develops early in our relationships with our own caregivers, how we experience the world as either trustworthy or not. And it's so important. Trust is so important to so many of our relationships. It's kind of the glue that holds us together with other people, that we have circuitry in the brain that is, is concerned with monitoring whether you can trust somebody or not. And in fact, studies have shown that, you know, when you look at somebody, you can judge or come to a sense of their trustworthiness within milliseconds, just based on subtle features of the face. So we're so attuned to this. And it turns out that a lot of that develops or is programmed early in life, in part based on our experiences of attachment to our own caregivers, our mothers, our fathers, and the others around us. And when that early environment is secure and nurturing, we often are, you know, we can be set on a trajectory of being able to feel like the world is trustworthy. When it's not, when it's erratic, when it's hostile, when it's very stressful, that can actually program some of the biology in our brains and hormones that make for difficult relationships later in life.
Now, what about, I hadn't planned on going here, so this is a interesting digression. What about a caregiver? You must get asked this question often. What about mothers who return back to work and are what you might call part-time caregivers and share that caregiving with non-relatives?
Mm-hmm.
How does that erode, or what's the time of trust, and what period is it? 0 to 3 years is that key period, or is it 0 to 5 years, or how early is early development here?
Right. Well, a lot of some of the key factors that go into developing our sense of trust are quite early in life. So in the first, say, 0 to 3 years, although there isn't, of course, a bright line there either. But the other thing we know is that the game isn't over after 3 years or 5 years, and our experiences throughout the rest of our life have an important shaping effect on where we go with our relationships and our mental development. I think the issue about, you know, there's a lot of anxiety on the part of parents about, you know, was I not there enough? If I go out and go to work, is that going to have a devastating effect on my child? And that just doesn't seem to be the case. The key issue is the quality of the relationship and that sort of sense of nurturing consistency, dependability, which can be operating in lots of different contexts, and different caregivers can provide elements of that. So having somebody who helps with the caregiving, who is nurturing and supportive and consistent, that makes for the development of a healthy attachment system.
Now, where I wanted to go with this, actually, was what this brought up to me was, in the example of the Colorado shooting, this person had apparently revealed to his therapist, or at least to some psychiatrist, maybe three, some of his problems. And it must be that as a psychiatrist, you get a lot of issues of trust and of people who are disappointed. And how do you know when to notify authorities versus not? And when do you break that trust with the patient to notify people?
Yeah, well, this is a dilemma, a clinical dilemma that we face too frequently, I think. And that is, you know, when you're concerned about somebody's behavior, whether they might harm somebody else or harm themselves, there is this balance between confidentiality and maintaining the alliance or the trusting relationship. And then, you know, when your alarm system has gone off to the point that you think there's an imminent harm, having to break that confidentiality to protect the patient or the person who's seeing you, as well as other people. And it is a very difficult thing, in part because predicting violence, or predicting suicide for that matter, is very complicated and difficult on an individual basis. We don't have a blood test. We don't have an MRI that's going to tell you that. And so much of that has to do with cues and things that go on in the relationship. When there is a clear threat and an identified person who is being threatened, that's often a situation where the standard is to break the confidentiality and try to prevent something terrible from happening. But it can be an enormously difficult dilemma.
We've been talking with Jordan Smoller, Dr. Smoller, The Other Side of Normal, How Biology is Providing the Clues to Unlock the Secrets of Normal and Abnormal Behavior. And this book is filled with stories like that, of how the brain develops, or how we develop trust by the way our brain is structured, and how we become normal and abnormal with that. Thank you very much for being with us. And if you have more questions, Dr. Smoller, is there a website?
There isn't a website for the book, but people can, you know, post comments on the Amazon site or reach me through the publisher as well.
And we'll be back. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Royson.
Not an offer to sell a franchise. The offer of a franchise can only be made through the delivery of a franchise disclosure document.
How would you like to have your own money-making, fresh, healthy vending franchise? The company that has revolutionized the vending machine business with healthy snacks and drinks has done it again with the world's only combination gourmet organic espresso coffee healthy snack vending machine. These brightly colored, high-tech, dual temperature control vending machines will be placed in premier locations in your community. Businesses, hospitals, schools, military bases, health clubs, and other high-traffic areas. Fully stocked with fresh, healthy foods like yogurts, organic espresso coffee, 100% fruit juices, smoothies, granola bars, and other popular brand name healthy and organic snacks. Consumers demand these kinds of healthy foods, and that's why franchise areas are getting gobbled up across the nation. A highly profitable business for you with full training and support. Plus, Fresh Healthy Vending secures premier locations for your machines on your behalf. Call now, 800-226-5454. Get information on how to own your own groundbreaking Fresh Healthy Vending franchise today. 800-226-5454. 800-226-5454.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness,
it's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
phone that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. While planning gifts for your children, grandchildren, nieces, and nephews this holiday season, don't forget about toy safety. Toys need to match a child's abilities, so always check the manufacturer's age recommendations on the toy first. In general, toy parts should be much larger than the child's mouth to prevent injuries, including choking. To avoid serious eye or ear injuries, steer clear of toys that shoot small objects into the air or make loud noises. The eyes, nose, and other small parts on soft toys and stuffed animals should be securely fastened. If a toy comes with instructions, make sure you read and demonstrate them to the child and make sure she understands the proper way to use the toy. And note, never buy hobby kits such as chemistry sets for any child younger than 12. For more tips on keeping your holidays safe with your children and family, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, with Joe Galuski and Dr. Deb Lonser, and starring Dr. Michael Roizen, M.D.
Hey, don't forget about our guest book. It's called The Other Side of Normal, How Biology is Providing the Clues to Unlock the Secrets of Normal and Abnormal Behavior, published by William Morrow. It's a division of HarperCollins. Jordan Smoller, M.D., S-M-O-L-L-E-R. Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week for this hour. First hour coming up in 6 minutes from Mark. That's our first Real Age Tip. Another Real Age Tip coming up in the second hour. Also in our second hour, Dr. Gary Ginsberg. And we're crossing our fingers, Dr. Arthur Perry, at the bottom of the hour, second hour, with Straight Talk from the docs. udocs@gmail.com is the email address, youdocs@gmail.com. In fact, Karen with an email question for you, Dr. Mike, and the question is, I've heard that L-arginine doesn't work on adults that are over 40 because their arteries can't convert it to nitric oxide. Is that true?
And the answer is, we don't know. I looked for the data on what is called you have two ways of producing nitric oxide. There is a steady level produced, and then there is a level produced when you increase demand for it. So one is called constituent, and the other is called inducible. And we clearly know that inducible nitric oxide still is present. That's why guys can still have sex in their 90s, because at least the inducible nitric oxide is working. It's needed for an erection, and it's needed for sexual pleasure in women, so we know that can work in old age. Whether the constituent or constitutional, or what you would say the everyday level of nitric oxide is there, and how much arginine influences those levels, we don't know. When I, and you know, I often see patients over the age of 50 who have been exercising before 50, And the consistent finding is that their warm-up period needs to be longer to get to the same degree of exercise. My thoughts on that is it may be that they don't have the level of nitric oxide that is always present, that same level there, and they have to induce it. And that takes sometimes 30 minutes to 2 hours, which is why the warm-up period takes a lot longer in older athletes. And I think, and by then they may have used all their energy in warming up and not have any for the game. So I think there may be some truth, but I don't think that arginine conversion is totally eradicated. So my answer is, I don't know the answer. I haven't been able to find out the data, but from my normal Google searches, etc. But I think that you can eat watermelon and other things that have high arginine content, like nuts, and still get some of the benefit of vasodilation in your arteries, although it may take demand from the arteries to do it. Now, Joe, there's one very important case of this. That is what we call a pre-treatment or pre-conditioning. So preconditioning is when you have an ischemic episode. For example, your heart doesn't get enough blood. If you have that episode, you then induce the nitric oxide in the distal part of the artery, and you're able to, the next time you get a slowdown in blood flow, if it's in the immediate period afterwards, meaning in the next couple hours, you get a better, you're able to exercise longer before you get that ischemic event. That's called preconditioning, and we know that that occurs in older people. So my guess is that eating more arginine to increase your ability to have that protective dilation of your arteries probably still pertains even over the age of 90.
What else has arginine aside from watermelon?
It is...
Or nuts.
It is in a lot of the citrus fruits, but I will Google that one because I've traditionally, the foods that have it in high, the food that has it in highest quantity that you wouldn't expect to have such a health benefit is watermelon, and that's delicious, obviously, at this time of year, even at the State Fair in New York. Do you still have the State Fair up in Syracuse?
Oh, yeah. Everything wrapped in bacon, pal.
Well, is it going on now?
Yes, sir, through Labor Day, and I want to talk about that because
Well, tell people to have the watermelon. Because it's the healthy thing at the State
Fair. Yeah, but everybody's going to a place called the Bacon Habit. So, and you can imagine what that place is all about. I want to talk about it in the second hour because you talk about something in cigarettes that's similar to bacon. It kind of ties in with this place of the State Fair.
Yeah, we'll give that secret. There's something in cigarettes that is the same thing in bacon and that causes, that is now linked definitively with causing something bad in you.
Okay, that'll be in the second hour. But now, time for Dr. Mike Roizen's Real Age Tip of the Week.
Now on You, the Owner's Manual, this is the Real Age Tip of the Week with Michael Roizen, M.D.
And this is the tip of the week, three beach safety tips. Beyond rip currents and sunburns, and by the way, don't go if you're any place near the hurricane, any place along that Gulf Coast or in Florida, don't go out in there just to see it and experience it. That's how you die. But beyond rip currents and sunburns, here are our beach safety tips for three common water hazards. And we're into these for the Labor Day weekend. One, jellyfish stings. TV friends character Chandler and Joey were mortified they had to pee on Monica's leg to ease the pain after an encounter with a jellyfish. Well, the joke's on them. That old wives' tale, what old wife would make that up, either didn't work or makes the pain worse, at least for the sting of most amorphous creatures with tentacles. That makes the pain worse. Vinegar, baking soda, and meat tenderizer aren't effective either against the common East Coast jellyfish. Remove the tentacles, And this is for Hawaiian jellyfish too. Remove the tentacles and rinse the area with hot water for relief. If there's no hot water available, salt water or seawater works just as well. Then apply a topical anesthetic such as benzocaine or lidocaine. The exception is for the Portuguese man of war, which sometimes is found in the Gulf, but it's a jellyfish-like colonial organism. It stings. Vinegar is the best. For seashell, barnacle, and coral cuts, remember these contain a lot of bad bacteria. See a doctor. Wash it out really well. Really wash it out. Put alcohol on it. Don't ignore it. And then see a doctor even if it looks fine. Bodyboarding and body surfing injury prevention, the key is if a big wave is coming, duck under it. If you mistakenly float into intense wave crashing area, duck under the waves. The real age benefit of protecting yourself, up to 12 years younger. Joe?
All right, Dr. Mike, thanks. Double coming up with the next hour. Stick around. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Deb Lonser and Dr. Michael Roizen. Thanks for listening.